back the temple, they one of the things they did was to cleanse the altar and purify it. And when Yeshua comes back after the Antichrist defiles the temple, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, he defiles the temple and sets himself up as God for 3 years. The Messiah himself, Jesus, Yeshua, is going to come back and cleanse the temple. He's going to repair it. He may rebuild it. He's going to purify the altar because there's a wedding that's going to take place at that altar. And I said last night, there's no bridegroom more passionate for his bride than Yeshua. There's no bridegroom more passionate for his bride, more eager to get married. There's no bride. I mean, a lot of guys want to get married. A lot of gals want to get married. A lot of people are hot to trot. But there's nobody who's more passionate, more eager to come for their bride than the Son of God. And he's waiting. Do you know why he's waiting? What's keeping him? Why doesn't he come today? He's so obedient to the Father that he won't come until the Father says go. Until he said, he told us in John 14, he said he only does what his Father tells him to do. He only speaks the words that his Father tells him to speak. And so when he gets the signal from the Father, he will come. He says, no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father. And what's he saying? He's saying, I can't come and get my bride until Dad says so. Boy, that's an obedient son. Amen. Ooh, there's a message in there somewhere. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to talk about the menorah, the lampstand. And one other thing that was interesting about Hanukkah I talked about last night, not only about the bride connection, and you can watch the message, go to our live stream at www.forzionsake.org. You can hear last night's message about the bride and Hanukkah. And one of the other points we made about Hanukkah is that it's in the New Testament. It's the only new holiday mentioned in the New Testament. There is no other holiday there's Passover, which is an Old Testament holiday. There's Sukkot in John 7, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles in John 7. There's Old Testament holidays are mentioned. Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, Luke 4, as was his custom, Yeshua celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday. The biblical Sabbath was his custom. Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Okay, these are all biblical Old Testament holidays. The only holiday that was brand new, that was never mentioned in the New Testament or anywhere, any other biblical mention, is in John 10:22, where it says, Yeshua, Jesus, was walking in Solomon's portico at the temple. It was winter time. And it was the Feast of Dedication. And I'd say for thousands of years, Christians have been reading over the majority, not all, but mostly, because most Christians celebrate Christmas. It says Jesus was in the temple celebrating Feast of Dedication. Well, that's a new holiday in the New Testament, the Christian Bible. Not the Jewish Bible. Most Jews don't read it. Okay? I mean, I'd say I could probably count the number of Jews in this town on my fingers in this town who read the New Testament. Probably 10 or less. I'm one of them. Maybe 20 or less. My son is the only Jewish kid in his high school. He's the only one in his whole high school. Okay? So, Jews, we're taught not to read the New Testament as unbelievers. We're taught not to read it. But yet, Jews who aren't commanded in any Bible, in the Old Testament that they read, are not commanded to celebrate Hanukkah, celebrate it. And Christians who have it in their Bible, Jesus celebrated it, which is, somebody said to me, they said to me on Facebook, they said, well, we're not supposed to celebrate Hanukkah because it's not commanded. Well, if it was good enough for Jesus, isn't it good enough for you? Good enough for me. John 10:22. If it was good enough for him, that's like a king taking his signet ring, sticking it in hot wax, and putting his seal on, it's okay to celebrate Hanukkah. The document says everybody can celebrate Hanukkah. God gives his stamp, his seal. Amen? The fact that Jesus celebrated the holiday, it blows my mind that the Jews celebrate it and they're not even commanded to, but Christians in whose Bible this new holiday is, most people I meet don't even know that the Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. They don't even know it. What is the Feast of Dedication? Read John 10:22. See it for yourself. Look it up in Strong's Concordance. Google it. It's Hanukkah. Jesus walked 80 miles from Galilee to celebrate Hanukkah. It's a mystery. Why do Jews celebrate it, but Christians don't? The only winter holiday that Jesus celebrated was Hanukkah. You know, after his birth, funny thing is, this guy said to me on Facebook, he said, we don't celebrate Hanukkah because we're not commanded to do it. Okay, it was good enough for Jesus to do it, but you're not, it's okay, you don't have to. The only holiday that Jesus didn't celebrate, that Christians celebrate, one of the only holidays, there's a couple others, but one big one, this time of year, they call it Christmas. Where is the commandment to celebrate Christmas? That's my response to, there's no commandment to celebrate Hanukkah. Where's the commandment to celebrate Christmas? Do you ever see Mary and Martha bake him a cake on his birthday after the initial birth and the wise men came and the star was in the sky, you know, and it guided the wise men and the shepherds came down and saw the baby and marveled, and the wise men brought gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amen. And, everybody, and there was wonder, a sense of wonder at the birth of the Messiah. But after that, on his fifth birthday, his sixth birthday, his seventh birthday, I mean, come on, kids have birthday parties, right? Chuck E. Cheese, go jump, just jump, go to just jump and jump around on the trampolines. Kids do birthday parties. Kids come over, they play Xbox, parents buy a cake, right? Huh? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Good preaching, Rabbi. But you never see Jesus have a birthday party. You never see Mary and Martha. You never see Mother Mary, his mother Miriam, Mary. Miriam is her Hebrew name. You never see her bake a cake for him. No celebration. You never see the disciples throw him a party. Anywhere. After he's born, you never see it. Doesn't tell you what day he was born, December 25th. Where do we get December 25th? It's not in the Bible. Whose birthday? If it's not his birthday on December 25th, most people know. I won't say that most people. Some people know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Okay. Well, then if he wasn't born on December 25th, who was? Shh. I'm not going to tell you. You look it up. Look up the origins of Christmas. Look up Saturnalia. Look up Mithraism. Myth, not M-I-T-H. Myth, M-I-T-H, not Y. M-I-T-H-R-A-I-S-M. Mithraism. Look up Tammuz. T-A-M-M-U-Z. Tammuz. Look up Horus. Look up Zeus and winter solstice. Yule. Look up Yule, the Yuletide spirit. Find out who Yule is. It's not Yul Brynner, Y-U-L-E. Look up Odin. That's a precursor to Santa Claus. He's a real friendly guy. Odin, O-D-I-N. You want to see what an elf looks like? Look up Krampus, a Krampus parade. Go to YouTube and look at a Krampus. K-R-A-M-P-U-S, a Krampus parade. You'll find out the origins of Christmas and where it all comes from. Find out, look up when the Christmas tree, where that came from. They didn't have it in the Bible. Now, I'm not telling you what to celebrate, and I told you, I always tell you, I love Christians and I love the church, and we need Christians. We need the church. Because I believe that it's critical for the Messianic community and the church to come together, the believing church, the people, to come together as one. That's God's intention. But there has to be a church and there has to be a Messianic community in order for us to come together in John 17, perfected in unity. There has to be the two groups. We have to exist. If not, then that revival that the world may believe that John 17 speaks of, Jesus prayed that we would be one, echad, perfected in unity. Read it, John 17. Without the two groups perfected in unity, we can't be one. Amen? So I'm a believer in the church, but I do want to challenge people about truth. Okay? So you celebrate what God tells you to, but all right, so now I'm going to move on to the mystery of the menorah. So for those of you who are familiar with Hanukkah, you know, any of you who know anything about it know that there's a 9-branch lampstand called the Hanukkiah. Everybody say Hanukkiah. Hanukkiah. So this is the Hanukkiah. It's 9 branches. Now, if you look at the one from the temple, it's 7. And now we know that the oil lasted 8 days. But why is there 9 branches if I could see them making an 8-branch one to represent the 8 days, but why did they make a 9-branch one? That doesn't make sense, does it? It's illogical. Why, when they celebrated Hanukkah, why did they come up with a 9-branch lampstand, a Hanukkiah, which the temple one is 7 branches, they added 2 branches. To the lampstand. Why? So I did some research years ago, and okay, I looked up the number 8. So remember, the temple lampstand down there, you can see that down there below, the gold bronze one, that is 7. That's the one that, you know, God said, build a 7-branch lampstand and put it in my house, you know. Okay, so then the miracle of Hanukkah, the oil lasted 8 days. So I could see them making an eight-branch lampstand, right? So I looked up the number 8. And the number 8 in Hebrew is Shemona. Everybody say Shemona. Shemona. And Shemona comes, the root word of Shemona is Shemen. Everybody say Shemen. Shemen is the olive oil. It's the of the lampstand, it's the oil of the lantern of the menorah in the temple. Okay? It's the oil that was used, represents the anointing, the Spirit. Okay? Who's the anointed one? You know what the Mashiach, the word in Hebrew for the anointed one is the Mashiach. Everybody say Mashiach. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. Ay, 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 ay. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. It means the one smeared with oil. Okay? Christians didn't have a Messiah. So they had to come up with a word. The Greeks didn't have a Messiah. No other culture had a Messiah. So in order to come up with a word for Messiah, one who's smeared with oil, and the Greeks came up with Christos. That's where you get the name Crisco. You bake your Christmas cookies and your chocolate chip cookies and things and your pies. You use Crisco. The word Crisco has to do with the oil. The Greeks, they didn't have a word for Messiah, but they did have a word for one who's smeared with oil. And it's Christos. And that's where they got the name Christ. Isn't that cool? And that's kind of where Crisco comes from. Anyway, don't eat too much Crisco. It's bad for your heart. Okay. So let's move on. So I looked up the number 8, Shemona, and it comes from the root word Shemen, which is the oil, the anointing. Who's the anointed one? Yeshua. Jesus is the anointed one. He's the one smeared with oil. He's the Mashiach, the one smeared with anointing, with the oil. Remember, when King David was chosen to be king, Samuel came and poured a big horn of oil all over his head, you know, covered him with oil. Okay? That's essentially what God did to the Messiah. He just poured oil all over him. We didn't see it, but I mean, that's essentially, he poured his Spirit the oil is a picture of the Spirit of God being put upon. And we know that the Spirit came down on him when he was baptized. Amen? Not that he didn't already have it. He just kept getting more of it. Okay, so that essentially what I'm saying to you is Shemona, number eight, the eighth candle. Let's say we have four here and four here. Let's say this is number eight. That's the Messiah's candle. Amen? Or maybe it's this tall one that's a little bigger than the others. Now, the big one, then that's the big one is known as the Shamash. The Shamash. Okay, everybody say Shamash. Shamash. Shamash means deacon in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word for deacon or servant. A deacon is a servant. Okay? So whoever invented the Hanukkah, they put the servant candle, and it's higher, if you notice, it's taller than all the other candles. And when we light the Hanukkah, we take the servant candle, we light it first, and then we light all the other little candles. We use the servant candle to light the other ones. So to me, really, the eighth candle is the Shamash. What didn't our Savior come to serve us? Amen. Isn't that what he told Peter at Passover? If you don't let me serve you, you have no part with me. Right? So I kind of believe that you know, 165 years when Hanukkah took place before the birth of the Messiah. I mean, and think in the grand scheme of time, from the beginning of time to the end of the world, the end of time, to the millennium, or the end of the millennium. 165 years, if you had a timeline, it's just a little check, a little blip in the big timeline of history. 165 years, and you know, it's nothing. It's just a little blip, little line, little dot on the timeline of history. 165 years is nothing. Amen? Amen. Now, especially to people who don't believe in a young earth. If you believe that the earth existed for millions of years, it's really barely, it's nothing. Okay? All right. So, eight is the number of the Messiah, Shemona, Shemin. Eight is the number of the Messiah, the anointed one. It's the number of the anointing. Eight is the number of the anointing. He's the anointed one. I believe this candle represents him, the servant who lights all the other ones. Okay? All right. But why nine? Where do we get the ninth candle? What's nine? I mean, you know, the miracle of the oil of Hanukkah is that it lasted for 8 days. So why do we have nine candles? I always wondered that, you know. Why nine? Why not eight candles? Okay. Temple lampstand had seven. Miracle of Hanukkah, oil lasted 8 days. Make an eight branch menorah. But I looked up the number nine, and the number nine is associated with fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. God said that he would make Abraham and Isaac, he would make them fruitful, and that he would make their offspring like the sand of the seashore, or like the stars of the heavens. Amen? That he would multiply the descendants of Isaac, specifically, of Isaac and then Jacob through the line of the Messiah. Anyone who's connected to the Messiah is part of that fruitfulness. And there's millions of Christians, millions of believers, millions and millions of messianic non-believers, messianic Gentiles, who join with Jewish people. Okay? The fruitfulness, the multiplication. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? The number nine is connected with the word with fruitful. And so 165 years, which in a timeline of history is nothing, and Satan tried to destroy the Jews one last time by bringing the Syrian, the Greeks to destroy, they tried to destroy, they banned the Bible. if you're, they ban the Torah, they ban the Sabbath, they ban circumcision, they ban the practice of Judaism, they banned all Jewish things, they banned speaking of you know, the God of Israel. And if you apply that to Christianity, that would be banning church, banning your Bible, banning Bible study, banning choir, banning praise and worship, banning Christmas, banning all holidays, banning Easter, banning all things Christian. That's the equivalent of what the tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes did. So that was 165 years, 168, about 168 to 165 years before the birth of the Messiah. A blip in history. Two lifetimes. Amen? Two lifetimes away from the birth of the Messiah. Satan tried to destroy the Jews. And if he succeeded, there would have been no little town of Bethlehem, no Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. There would have been no baby Jesus, no baby Yeshua. There would have been no Mary. There would have been no Judaism, no temple to go to dedicate the Messiah, no Anna the prophetess, no Simeon the prophet, you know, the man who said that God told him he would see the Messiah before he died. There would have been no Christianity. No, Gentiles would be lost without God. If the Jews had been destroyed and there had been no Messiah, there would be no Christianity. We'd all be a bunch of barbarian pagans, and we wouldn't be standing here talking today. We'd all be living like Vikings and Goths and you know, tribally killing each other, going around the world, blowing, you know, destroying one another, trying to take over. Who knows what the world would be like if the Messiah hadn't come. Amen. Scary thought. Without Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. Okay. So what this was celebrating and why these two candles were added, the servant, Jesus, the eighth candle was added, and the ninth one, representing the fruitfulness, the Gentiles, God was saying, I'm about to graft in the Messiah into the olive tree. I'm going to graft the Gentiles in too. They're coming. Get ready. God was telling the world by Hanukkah that the Messiah was coming and the Gentiles were about to be grafted into the olive tree. This is the lampstand in the temple was lit with olive oil. Amen? Thank you, sir. The lampstand in the temple was lit with olive oil, and it was a... you know, olive oil is the so this is an olive tree. This is a picture of the olive tree. In fact, this is an olive tree. This one I'm holding is an olive tree. It's a little more neater than an olive tree looks like. But it is an olive tree. You can see the roots, you can see the branches. This is an olive tree, and so is that. And so it says in Romans 11 that the Gentiles will be grafted in to Israel's olive tree. Amen? And Hanukkah predicts it. Hanukkah also predicts that the Messiah himself would be grafted in. He would be born. And everybody has to be grafted in. Every Jew, every non-Jew. We all have to be grafted into the tree. And so the Messiah... He was grafted in, but his candle's a little higher than ours. Amen? And that's the mystery of the Hanukkah. That 165 years before the birth of Christ, God was pronouncing to the world, announcing, the Messiah's coming to light the light of the world who lights every candle. Amen? He's coming, and the Gentiles are coming too. And they're going to be grafted in to Israel's olive tree. And that's why the menorah has nine branches. Amen? Praise the Lord. Give him glory. All right. So, Hanukkah is really an amazing holiday. It's a prophetic holiday. It's a historic holiday. We Jews have a saying: they tried to kill us, we won. Let's eat. Every Jewish holiday, we say they tried to kill us, we won. Let's eat. They've never succeeded. They've killed us, but they've never destroyed us. And we've eaten a lot. And we're going to continue eating because they're never going to destroy us. The Bible says it. And that's why I'm going to tell you something else prophetically. The Iranians just launched a missile a week ago capable of hitting Europe with a nuclear warhead. We gave them $150 billion to help them build their nuclear weapons, and we gave them $1.5 billion in cash under President Obama. And they have said, they promised us that they would police. John Kerry brokered a deal in which the Iranians said, no, you don't need to come and inspect us. We'll police ourselves. We'll do it. Don't worry. We'll just trust us. We'll take care of it. And John Kerry said, okay, all right, we'll just give you $150 billion. That's a lot of money. You can build a lot of nuclear stuff with $150 billion. In fact, do you know that the whole fleet of F-35 fighter planes, stealth fighter jets, was only $90 billion? The whole fleet that with the United States of F-35, you can look that up, fighter, the latest, fanciest stealth fighter jet in the U.S. arsenal was $90 billion. We gave them $150 billion plus $1.5 billion in cash. You can build a lot of nuclear weapons and missiles with $150 billion. They already have their satellite flying around the world guidance for missile guidance. They have a satellite up there and they got missile guidance ready to go, and they can shoot a missile. But let me tell you something. They want to destroy Israel just like Hitler, just like Antiochus, just like who else wanted to destroy the Jews? Haman tried to destroy the Jews. Hitler tried to destroy the Jews. The Romans tried to destroy the Jews, right? Many, many kings throughout history have tried to destroy the Jews. They've never succeeded. And so right now, The crisis of existence, the existential crisis that the Jewish people face today, is Iran. Iran is threatening to kill and destroy the Jewish people, just like Antiochus did in the Hanukkah story. And the Antichrist will try to destroy the Jews too. He's the last guy who tries to destroy the Jews and Christians. Today it includes Christians. But Jesus is coming back to save Israel and save the world from the Antichrist. But before that happens, Iran's nuclear capability must be destroyed. And there's only one country that can do it. And if you read Daniel 8, it talks about the destruction of Iran's military capability. And it's a goat. It says a male goat from the west flies over the whole earth in Daniel 8. And he destroys the Persian, Medo-Persian ram, which that's Iranian. And that ram is Iran. And it's trying today, the prophecy has to do with then, but it also has to do with today. Just like Isaiah 7:14 says, the prophet gave a sign to the king, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. That prophecy was for that time, but it's also a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. It had a dual meaning. In the same way, Daniel 8 has a dual meaning. It was talking about Alexander the Great, but it's also talking about the President of the United States, because the only country on the West today that can destroy Iran's nuclear capability is the United States. And I'm going to be honest with you, I believe the only president who can destroy, who's willing to take the step to fight who backed out of the agreement with Iran that the last administration made, and that if Iran does something stupid, is President Trump. He's the only one who will go and attack Iran and destroy. And why does he have to destroy Iran's nuclear capability? And I believe it'll happen in the next, between now and his second term, in 5 years or so, 5 or 6 years. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say Israel's destroyed. Nowhere in the Bible. So Israel can't be destroyed. And Israel is never nuked. Because Jesus sets foot in Zechariah 14 on the Mount of Olives when he comes back. Amen? And the Bible says when he comes back, he's going to gather us to him. Second Thessalonians says his return, upon his return, he will gather us to him. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. Amen? Israel can't be destroyed. We read last night, Zechariah 8, I am zealous over Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem, he says. How can he dwell in Jerusalem if the Iranians nuke it? Right? You know, we, as many people look at the Bible spiritually, with spiritual eyes, you can't interpret prophecy as, you know, it's very physical. Did Jesus die on the cross spiritually when he put nails in his hands and in his feet and they whipped 41 lashes on his back? Was it spiritual lashes? Were those spiritual nails in his hands that brought forgiveness of sin, caused him to bleed, that brought you eternal life if you believe in his crucifixion and his death, burial, and resurrection? Was it a spiritual death? Did he die spiritually on the cross? No. He had nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He was scourged, flogged. Amen. Starved, thirsty. They fed him vinegar. Amen. Physical, tangible, not spiritual in the cloud. I mean, yeah, he's going to catch us up to the clouds, but then we're coming back down. When we come back, we're coming back to earth for 1,000 years. Amen. He's going to dwell in Jerusalem, and the Iranians will be defeated, and very soon, because they have the capability now. They may have it right now to send their nukes, and we got to stop them. God's going to stop them, because if God doesn't stop Iran from developing nuclear weapons, and they do nuke Israel, that would make God's word untrue. And that would make God a liar. But you and I know God's not a liar, right? And his word is true. So the Iranians will be stopped. And Daniel 8 talks about it. All right. Well, that's my message for today. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And please stand up. I want to bless you. That's the mystery of the Hanukkah menorah, the Hanukkiah. Hanukkah, the only new holiday in the New Testament. No other new holiday. Very fitting for Christians to celebrate. Festival of Lights. It's in the Christian Bible. You celebrate Christmas because of tradition, but I challenge you to step out of the box and join with Messianic Jews who believe in the same Jesus, believe in the same gospel of death, burial, and resurrection, that faith comes if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. If you believe that, we're brothers, you know, where we can have fellowship. Amen? And you can come and join us and celebrate Hanukkah. We had a service last night. If you missed it, it's on our live stream. You can go and watch it. www.forzionsake.org. forzionsake.org. For Zion's sake. Watch that message last night. Learn about Hanukkah. It's your holiday. It's your Bible. You do other things because of tradition. tradition. I challenge you, step out of the box. You'll be amazed at what God will do when you step out of the box of tradition. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, our soon coming King, and the Prince of Peace. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate. We love you, God loves you. God loves you more. Shabbat shalom.